entire unscreened minutes here on the Best Show Post Show. What an exciting night. What a great group here. We got, of course, the one and only AP Mike. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good, Tom.
It's good to have you here. And, of course, Pat Byrne. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I like your new shoes.
Well, thank you for noticing.
I just noticed.
I appreciate it.
I have new shoes.
That dude has got, I like
those are nice shoes. Oh, both of you guys, look at you.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know where you get those? At any mall.
Any mall?
It's not, there's no skill to it. If you walk in with $50 and they give you these.
I order mine from an online outlet mall.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you paying like a little less than $50?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. You're paying
not
100%.
Yeah, I'm paying. No, I am paying. It's a they're kind of messed up shoes. They're seconds.
All right. Weird.
But I have wide feet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
This guy brags.
I know.
Everything's a brag with this guy.
Yeah.
I got wide.
I can
feet.
Swim real well, guys.
Yeah.
I can swim. Yeah. I go to the outlet mall website.
That's what I do. Sorry, that's just how I roll.
You go to Kohl's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never, I've been in a Kohl's once.
Well, I used to go to Bob's, but that went down in flames. So now I'm over in Kohl's now.
What is Bob's?
I'm over there now.
Bob's was a sporting goods place?
No, it was like menswear, I guess.
Okay.
Bob's Stores.
Bob's Stores, yeah.
That's right, yes.
It's still around? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you're right.
Went down in flames.
No relation to Bob's Furniture.
Or Bob's Big Boy.
Bob's Discount.
Can't stand
okay.
Bob's Furniture guy.
The creepy little cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also have Perry Schall from Hound here. How are you, Perry?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sticking around and being a part of this. It's exciting. Your record, Born Under 76, is out now? Is it out now?
October 20th is the official release. It's up for pre-order.
Okay, so people can get in on the action. And where do they pre-order it?
Let'sPretendRecords.com for the LP and cassette, and then SRARecords.com for the CD
for
version.
For the CD, yes. Everybody's going to buy the vinyl.
Yeah, vinyl's cool.
It is cool. So, guys, half hour power. Let's just go right to these phones that have been waiting there. Half hour power, how are you?
Oh, wow. Really good. How are you?
Good. What's going on tonight?
Ooh, nothing much going on tonight. I just wanted to share an experience that I had recently with you.
With me?
How you doing? Who's there?
Are you sharing it with Tom, or was it an experience with Tom?
Repeat that, please.
Are you sharing an experience that you had with somebody else? Are you telling Tom about it, or is it an experience that you had with Tom?
First one.
Okay.
But Tom was in my heart.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I saw Paul McCartney recently with my old man, and it was just an amazing night, and, I feel like part of the decision-making process in buying the tickets was your enthusiasm talking about seeing McCartney in the past, and also fatherly things, just like, you know, that I was thinking about you and things that you've said about your father and advice you have given to your listeners. So it was just this amazing night that I shared with my dad, and you were in my thoughts.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. Where did you see the show?
Barclays.
And it was great, right?
It was amazing. It was one of the most notable nights of my life.
His voice is still really good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Energy, played like five different instruments all over the stage. Great band, good stage production. The crowd was so into it. It was just love pouring out of everyone.
Yeah?
And, I just left like...
Did you cry? Did any part make you cry?
Yeah, a little bit. I got a little misty-eyed with, he talked about Lennon a little bit and then played Here Today.
Yes.
And then he talked a little bit later on about Harrison, and he did, something, like, you know, on ukulele.
That one got me when he did that. Because then when the whole band kicks in around it,
yep.
It's like...
Yeah.
It's like built to make you... get emotional.
You went on this tour?
It got me. And my dad said, "Hey Jude got him."
He's been doing that Here Today something thing since like 2009.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's as on point as a tribute could be for both of them. It's like, Well, I'm glad you had a great time. That's awesome to hear.
Yep. And, you were in my thoughts during throughout some of it.
I'm glad you had a good time with your dad, too.
Indeed. Thank you.
What do you think he's going to sing when Ringo dies?
Ringo will never die.
Weird.
But if he did, what would he sing in that little section? He'll add a third song.
The song from Sergeant
Pepper. A little help from my friends.
Yeah. You think that's what it would be?
No, I don't think so.
It's probably be like Octopus's Garden on the ukulele.
And I think he would end up doing, I said, no, I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze.
I pray that's it.
And then it makes it hard to find the door. What's a thing that you can count on to just move you to a high degree in art? Like, what is some sort of art that you know is going to stir you and has moved you, and you know if you saw it again or took part in it again, you would just be as vulnerable as you were to it?
I know for me, it's Birds by Neil Young.
When you hear that song.
Yeah, and I know this, and this is going to get sad for a second. Mm-hmm. That's the song that was playing on the car stereo when we were driving to the cemetery to spread my dad's ashes. And he was a big Neil Young fan, so every time I hear that, it kind of gets me.
Yeah,
so.
And that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a prime.
And it just happened to be on. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just listening to, I guess, after the Gold Rush, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Pat, anything? And it doesn't have to be sad. It could just be something you know you get that moves you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It doesn't have to be music, right? It could be anything.
No, anything.
It could be a movie.
Yeah.
Let me think a little more.
Okay. Mike, anything come to mind?
I'm trying to think of recent things, and I've been watching the Vietnam War documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the things where people are remembering losing family members, and mm-hmm. that always gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's to see life just laid out so it's just the real thing, and it's you can't deny it or run from it.
I don't know how people who lost family members or loved ones in that war, because it's pretty much they're giving you all the tapes, Lyndon Johnson mm-hmm. talking to his advisors and so on, and it's pretty much a doomed enterprise from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people watching that who had, you know, people involved in it must be getting very angry all over again, or maybe they just don't watch it. You know, it's something they've gotten past, or...
Just to know that that a human life could just be that whole thing of just being a number
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah,
and just
yeah.
being that's what they were to mm-hmm. these guys making these decisions.
Yeah, just to save face
mm-hmm.
For the political people.
Yeah.
There's a website that came out with the Ken Burns documentary where you can put in your birth month and date, and it'll give you what your draft number would have been.
Uh-huh.
And you would have been called. It's very interesting. Mm. And I would have been called. So,
Perry, anything art-wise that moves you?
There's a Bob Seger song on Mongrel. What's it called? River? Big River or something
okay.
like that?
It's, that gets you.
It's deep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Listen to it.
All right. Then, I will listen to Mongrel.
My favorite Seeger record.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the ones right before
the
transformation.
Yeah.
When he became not so good.
And
successful.
Super successful.
When he started wearing baseball jerseys all the mm-hmm. time.
yeah.
When I'll back a couple of those records.
Yeah.
Look, there's, look, I like those songs deep, too. But. I like. It's like there's the difference between some of those songs, the best of those songs of his, and Bruce Springsteen songs are they're not that far apart. They're just big. What?
Yeah.
They're just larger than life, big songs pulling from the same reference points.
Yeah.
But Bob Seger had this whole career. It's amazing. He had this career that he kind of denies. He doesn't reissue the stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Like, right? The stuff has never really been done. Like, he doesn't really, like, stuff gets, one way or another, gets reissued.
Right, but it's not through him.
But it's not. It's not being done with any sort of sense of just of importance.
Yeah, and I always find bands and songs that he did like, but more importantly, I'm like this was another band he was in. Like I'll see like a comp come out, and I'm like, there's another version of him, his name plus the so and so. I'm like, how many were there? Like I wish that there was like a complete, and it's all good. It's all so good, and I'm like, where is this? I would love to see him live. He's on the list for me.
Yeah, I know that he just okayed a bunch of the stuff to go streaming.
Okay.
But still skipped like 4 or 5.
Yeah. I mean, those things are records. They're not being respected the way that the other parts of his catalog are.
If he's not interested in his past, why doesn't he just hand it off to Rhino or something? You know, let them handle it, you know?
Very strange.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Special to him about it or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, he just did a reissue of a 7-inch or something.
Oh, 2+2.
Yeah.
Yeah, through Third Man put that out.
But I feel like that's more like Jack White just being like, please, please. And him just being like,
all right, fine. Like, Detroit, you can do this. Yeah, but,
yeah.
One thing. But.
Yeah, it's very strange. 2+2 is one of the greatest rock songs ever. That's another war. Great Vietnam song.
He's got a couple on Mongrel, too, about that. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Pat, anything come to mind?
I'm still thinking. I mean, you know, I've definitely cried over TV show episodes and stuff like that, too. And I'm trying to think of one. Awesome movies, music.
What Rocky movie?
Oh, that's a good one.
Makes you get the most pumped up of all the Rocky movies?
I mean, definitely the first one because it's the classic. Yeah. But does Creed count? The more recent one?
Sure.
I thought that was great, I got a little misty eyed when he starts talking about Adrian being dead and stuff. That was.
I saw Creed, bawled my eyes out.
Did you?
The whole time in the theater.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
God.
Yeah.
Creed was just like, that was. Pretty sure I saw Creed right after my father died, and then I'm going to see this thing, and like Rocky is sick, and it's like,
yeah,
oh, it's so great, right?
Yeah, I almost want to maybe even watch it this week now that we're talking.
It's Johnny Brenda's. Creed went to Johnny Brenda's.
That's right.
He's hanging out at Johnny Brenda's. Did you see Creed, Mike?
I did.
Did you like it?
It's okay.
Do you like it better than Rocky Balboa?
I didn't see that one. I only seen the first two and then Creed. I've only seen three.
Yeah,
that's not the way to go. The way to go. Come on, Mike. Rocky 3?
I didn't see
Mr.
it.
Mr. T?
Yeah, no, it seems silly, you know?
It's not.
It's not silly. Okay.
It's not, Mike.
All right.
Yeah, none of the other ones are silly.
I'll throw it on my Netflix
Mike,
list.
It's not silly. Because he's got to fight.
Yeah.
He's got to fight for the right reasons.
Uh-huh.
Adrian tells him so.
Oh, okay. She's still alive in that one.
Yeah, she is.
When did she die?
Mickey dies in that one.
Oh, Mickey. Oh, they start going off one by one.
Yeah, one at a time. Start keeling over. Yeah, Mickey croaks in 3. Apollo eats it in 4.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Russian kill Apollo in
Draga?
4?
If he dies, he dies.
Okay,
that's right. He knocks him down. But in 3, Clubber Lang shoves Mickey in like a hallway altercation, like a backstage thing. And And Mickey eats it.
I don't know why.
From a shove?
It was a really
very
hard.
Fragile.
Yeah.
Like.
It was a pretty hard
Mr.
shove.
T. He didn't hit his head or something?
Mr. T in 1983 yeah. shoved him.
Okay.
But you got to admit that's the best. I think Clubber Lang's the best of all the Rocky villains in the thing. Drago's stupid. Right? We all know that.
Yeah, no.
But that's the one that I feel like TV played the most.
Oh, yeah.
When I was constantly.
For some reason, the rights to show Rocky IV on
super cheap
must have been the cheapest because it was in syndication hell.
Then that's when Rocky's like in the Soviet Union. And he's working out with just like farm equipment, lifting like wagons. he runs up a mountain, lifts a wagon.
See, for me, mm-hmm. if I want my dose of Stallone stupidity, I go to First Blood. First Blood, to me, is, you know, a whole other level.
Masterpiece.
Yeah.
Not
so
over
good.
The top.
Back there. $1 million equipment. Here, we got a job.
I'm glad you pointed out a week or so ago that how it's definitely not a Philadelphian accent.
Like, wouldn't Rocky have just been like... Like, yo, Adrian. Would have been like the... Right?
Yeah. Yo, Adrian, when are you going to get them pretzels?
Yeah.
That's like my dad, my mom and dad.
But in Creed... See, you don't understand. See, the thing is, like, you see Rocky III, you don't understand Creed.
Okay,
that's why you don't like it so much.
Okay, that's why.
You don't understand the fight at the end of Rocky III, when Apollo and Rocky square off for the rubber match in privacy. Uh-huh. Is what then, because he's just like, I heard there was a third fight. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, yeah, you know, how'd you hear there was a third fight? Where'd you hear that? And he's like, I heard, who won that fight? He's like, yeah, Apollo won the third fight. Uh-huh. So you didn't understand it. So
yeah, no, I missed it. Yeah,
it went over your head.
Context.
It's fine. Creed went over your head.
Context is... too complex for me.
How about the fights that they shot in one continuous take, though? That was impressive. There was the 2-round fight was shot without an edit.
I didn't pick up on that.
In 2 or 1?
In Creed.
Oh, in Creed.
I didn't see it in the theater.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Got the boot.
That's probably why. It probably was upside down. Right?
Yeah.
It's probably in Spanish. Uh-huh. And upside down. Yeah. On your screen, you probably had to watch Creed on doing a headstand.
The aspect ratio is off.
Yeah. Aspect ratio is off, like half the screen's not represented.
Did I ever tell you about one of my customers?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, he comes to the bar just to get the boots.
Yeah. You know, Mike's talking about these bootleg DVDs that float around Bayonne.
Yeah, well, it's the East Coast, I think.
Well, but yours are specifically in in Bayonne.
But this guy comes out, and he comes more than once a week, as if, you know, there's hundreds of new releases every day.
Yeah.
You know that he's looking for.
Yeah. It's not a video store. Yeah. It's a trunk.
And the thing is, this guy's very particular, and he's always giving them back. Mm-hmm. You know, he's saying there's things wrong with them, and the bootlegger knows there's nothing wrong with the bootleg. He just doesn't like the movie, and he gives them back. You know, and then they get into disputes. Yeah. But
what movies?
Oh, you know, he likes all the junky action movies that I've never heard of. I mean, I go through the pile, and it's like, these are movies I've never heard of. But he buys them, you know. He'll look at anything, and then he'll come back and complain about it's too dark. That was his complaint about Dunkirk. It's too dark. Yeah. And, you know, there's all this stuff, you know, underwater and stuff. So, yeah, it's not very light underwater.
I can't see it.
He's not a big fan of the Chinese captions. Every once in a while, they appear on the boots.
See, movies come, the cycles are so much shorter now that it's like you can't wait until the real thing gets put out.
It's literally a month now before it's on digital on demand.
Yeah, for certain things, it is just like Spider-Man came out in July. Now it's on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2-3 months later. That's a major movie. Mm-hmm. You can't watch it in the way the way it's supposed to be seen. You got to watch it like you.
The people that I see that are the biggest fans of the bootlegs, I don't think have been to the movie theater in decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And they also, I think, sort of like the little the idea of like getting over.
Sure.
On the entertainment business.
There's like a little thrill to that part.
There's a thrill to that. Yeah.
Beating the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I finally made it to Close Encounters.
Oh, that's right. You saw Close Encounters, the 40th.
Yeah. I went to the last screening in New York City.
Oh, nice.
Staten Island.
Saw it on like a Wednesday night or something?
Wednesday night, a week ago. Paul Bruno. It was good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was better than good.
I think my screen, though, our screening wasn't.
Okay.
Because you said it was like remastered in 4K or something, right? It looked like I was watching like a VHS copy or something.
Oh, I don't know if it was in 4K. I don't even know what 4K.
Really?
I wouldn't know how to identify 4K.
But it was a crisp remaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But it's still shot on, it's still grainy because it's like.
Yeah.
It still was shot on film that they were, this was kind of.
I think all they really did was just restore colors and stuff.
Maybe.
So, yeah, you're still going to see some crap.
You know a movie I watched the other day, Mike? I watched McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Yeah, it was on, what channel was that on?
I watched it on the Blu-ray of it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's so good.
I like that movie.
Think of the streak that dude was on. Mm-hmm. And he was 50 at the time, pretty much. Yeah. Like, Altman was like an old guy when he finally caught fire after doing 20 years of TV, after filming Gunsmoke and all these things. Then finally goes, starts making movies, makes MASH. Brewster McCloud is next. Then it's McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Then what is it? Then what's after
was
that?
Was it Nashville?
Nashville next. Then it's like Thieves Like Us.
Oh, okay.
And California Split and... Long Goodbye, and
that's quite a run.
The Half Hour Power. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the Half Hour Power. You're here with me and AP Mike and Dudio and Pat and Perry Shao from Hound.
Hi guys. Hi y'all.
What's up?
I actually called in. Well, this is Eric from I just moved back to Brooklyn. I've been on hold since 9:04.
Oh my God! Well, I'm sorry.
Do I get anything? But I was just going to add someone to the 50 angriest list.
Okay. What do you got for the list?
Are you going to add yourself?
Yeah.
I'm too drunk to be angry. Uh-huh. But
This is the guy I told to splash some water in your face, right?
But that might have worked.
Okay.
So who do you
want to
put on the list?
Add David Miscavige to the list.
That's a good one for the list. David Miscavige, the head of Scientology.
Oh, man, if only we were in the best show.
Look,
this guy gets
a free pass, Dudio. let it slide through.
Please.
To the Half Hour of Power. Look. Of course, David Miscavige, I'll put him on the list. We don't have the list in front
Thank
of us
because
we're all in here. There's nobody running the show out there. We're all here together, but we'll put it on the
all
list.
All right. All right. Thank you.
All right,
you.
Buddy. Welcome back to Brooklyn. They missed you.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
9:04.
I don't think it's true. I
don't think it was true. No.
Not 9:04, because I can look at the times of all the people here.
Yeah.
I keep the calls move. I was trying to sweep through. Everybody said nobody's on hold for too long. The longest one was somebody was on hold for 1 hour when I was taking calls.
Yeah. Avalanche Bob was on hold for 3 hours one show, and then he hung up right before you clicked on it.
Wow. Record's out. Is the record out now?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't thanked on it, so I wouldn't know. I didn't get a copy.
But shouldn't that make you work harder, Duty?
You know, it really should.
Don't you ask yourself, why was I not thanked on the...
I do.
That was the joke of why I didn't put you on the producer list.
Oh, no, I knew.
Best Show Hall of Fame.
It hurt just as much.
It was a joke. In that regard, it was a joke. It was a reference to that.
Yeah, no, I completely know.
Of course, we couldn't do Avalanche the show without Bob. The show wouldn't happen without you, dude.
Someone tweeted that Chinese Democracy 2 will come out before the Avalanche Bob.
Oh, that's not true. I can't wait to send you guys to the party.
Where's the party going to be?
McMurphy's. They're always talking about some bar, McMurphy's.
So it's really happening. There's a set date and a time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, new releases come out on Fridays, so I'm assuming when his... The industry shifted from Tuesdays to Fridays.
Right.
So I'm going to send you guys to the party. Like how we wouldn't put a song about you on it or something. Wasn't it a thing we wouldn't do, like...
You throw one on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, bro, what about Jason? Right? Didn't he go like...
Yeah, he did.
Rick-a-doody-o.
Yeah.
Hey, we're doody-o. Rick-a-bang, doody-o.
It haunts me to my core.
Adam Sandler doing Avalanche Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Adam Sandler at 80.
Which will be his next Netflix movie. Happy
The Master. I can't wait for that movie. The one coming out on Netflix. I'm telling you, it looks like it's going to be good. The next what's his face there? What's that? The Meyerowitz, right? The Chronicles. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Adam Sandler's going to win and he's going to get nominated for an Oscar for best supporting actor for that thing. I'm telling you. Laugh it up. Laugh it up. He's going to be at the Oscars. The guy can act.
He's got the chops. The
guy's made more great movies than most people.
It's true.
Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, so that is very true.
So right there, there's three.
Yeah.
He's made three great.
Little Nicky.
Little Nicky's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Little Nicky's great. You know what else is I was watching is which other one was I watching was good is
51st Dates.
No, not that one.
I liked 51st
Wedding First Singer.
Wedding Singer was great.
Click.
Okay. A lot of people like Click. I'll say this though. I would trade places with that just that track record.
Yeah.
Not the money. Can you imagine the money? Mm. Oh my goodness. Half Hour Power High, welcome.
Hi.
What's up?
It's Jonathan in Vancouver. I wanted to talk to you about a course I'm taking at university called Creative Writing for Podcasting.
Oh, my God.
Creative Writing for Podcasting.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Why did I ever get invited anywhere? Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think someone would want to talk to me at some point in my life?
The Learning Annex. Maybe just send them a letter, a proposal.
I just start ripping people off.
Yeah.
What if I start just doing stuff at Union? I thought I would start doing stuff at Union Hall by myself. just sit there with a table in front of me. Charge $15 to get in. What's to hold 100 people there?
Yeah.
It's $1,500.
Call it the...
Hang out with me for an hour.
Sharpling Seminar.
Yeah, exactly. I'll talk to 100 people at a time. No phones, no nothing. There's a box, you put all your phones in it. No recording allowed. Mm-hmm. Right? Why not? I've seen worse shows.
I think people would do it.
I would go.
So what's this creative writing and podcasting? What does that even mean?
Well, it's 3 hours long, and my professor talks at the front of the room about podcasts he likes and how to get good sound design, and everyone in the class is looking at other non-school-related things on the internet.
So what podcasts does she like? Serial?
Yeah, right. She mentioned Serial.
Of course
she mentioned
did.
My Brother and Me.
Look, I don't know that
She mentioned the show where a guy talks over famous classical music.
What?
That sounds like fun.
Guy talks over, what's it, PDQ Bach? Remember that guy?
Yes, I do.
Remember? Do you remember that? Like,
it was
like
yeah,
egghead comedy. We're just like, well, he's doing a parody of Bach, and he'll do this. Listen to this sonata that he's doing. It's so playful. It's like he'll be like everybody, because he goes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes, and they go.
I used to catch shows like that going when you're we're heading south in Jersey, and you're listening to FMU.
It changes
to a classical station, right around Marlboro, I think, Woodbridge. Where?
Like after that big bridge.
Amboy.
Right.
With me, I can get further down. I can get down almost to Manalapan. Yeah. They're all having a good old time.
PDQ Bob.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to be that world? I mean, it's such a sort of a different world, though, right?
It's so dry.
I guess it is a little dry, but I don't know. Right. It's like,
would you want to be in it?
Just to see what it's like, you know, rubbing shoulders at Lincoln Center and
piano
hobnobbing with the.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's just like
old money.
But who would you go to see in concert at things like that? What are you going to go see?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm so bad about, you know, I'm so uneducated relatively about classical music that, I mean,
but
it'd be like entering a new world.
I want to go see, like, full, like, orchestra things like that. I would love to see that. To actually see that in front of you and just, like, the force of, like, all those people playing that stuff, it just, like, but to go see it and see actual classical music, not go see Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's the only way people go see, like, orchestras now. It's just like, I went to go see orchestra.
Uh-huh.
I saw some classical music live. Oh, you did? What'd you say? Well, they showed Empire Strikes Back. And they had an orchestra playing all the music with it. It's like, that's not...
Yeah.
Like, that's the closest...
And they're sort of... I mean, it is sort of... The audience is dying out. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming up with these gimmicks just to get people interested in the classics.
But could you imagine... I got to start going. I've looked a couple times and almost gone to just see things at Lincoln Center that would just be like some classical music thing. Where it's going to be like the best thing in terms of just like... Because it's happening in front of you. It's the best musicians on the planet are playing this music that sometimes you have to feel the thing. It's like, that's where I feel like I've spent so much of my life trying to connect with jazz. I feel like one of the things that gets lost is the volume of it. That probably, when you went to go see the Village Vanguard and John Coltrane was playing, it was like your ears were getting blown out by this guy playing a tenor sax with so much force that his face is like, there's like his veins are about to explode in his forehead. It's like, that's what gets lost with just recordings, is that just like there's just like a visceral element to these things when they're actually done live, that when it becomes, they just become like museum pieces. Right?
I hear what you're saying.
We used to see a lot of shows like orchestras
when
I was a kid, because I was in the music program and stuff.
Okay.
We go see the Philadelphia Orchestra. And it was like, I I always have the itch, like once a year, like I should go see that. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get to. I know where it is. I've been there a million times. Yeah. And I never do. But like you said, they do stuff like the music from Pac-Man or something. Yeah. Like
the music from Pac-Man?
No, like video game, like Zelda.
I would go see that.
I would see that too, but they do like Zelda or something.
Okay.
But like, even that's... I mean, it might as well be. I would enjoy Pac-Man. I miss Pac-Man, maybe.
The conductor. The conductor's ready to blow his brains out. Just, you picture, like, a conductor's just like, what went wrong here? He's like, he was conducting, like, Pac-Man music. He's, like, 70-year-old guy finally gets in front of the... in front of an orchestra, and he's got to do the music from Donkey Kong.
And maybe they can take it. They could take a cue from Roger Waters and maybe have, like, you know, floating Pac-Mans and
some ghosts
going out over the audience.
Yeah,
he gets up in front of the audience, in front of the people, like taps the podium. It's like boo doo 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 doo, boom boom boom. Then it's like, like 80-piece orchestra. Conductor's just like, yeah, I guess I am conducting now. Like, this is where I wanted to be my whole life. Not exactly the music I thought I'd be doing. And now I've got to do the Frogger next.
Music they from have, Dig Dug.
They have billboards for it and everything, too.
Oh.
It's really video game stuff?
They did Zelda. I'm like...
Zelda makes sense, because it has a lot of... Yeah, no, it makes sense.
I don't know. I believe you.
It has a lot of orchestral music in all of it.
Caller?
Yeah?
Anything else?
Hey.
Yeah, yesterday I turned in a 1,500-word essay, which compared and contrast two podcasts.
Which two?
I chose Cliff Nesteroff's Classic Showbiz and Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast because they both had interviews with comedians and, I don't know, talking about a straight-up comedy improv class. Comedy improv podcast proved too difficult.
Hey, do you have any withdrawals left?
What?
You know, when you can withdraw from a class and it doesn't count against your record at school.
No, it's one of my required core courses for my media studies program.
Required class? What school are you at? Where podcasting
University of British Columbia.
I give you credit, bro. Keep going. Keep going. But keep your eye on the go. You got to look past that podcasting class. They're not going to, when you get in the real world and you're just like, yeah, here's, I got an A on the podcasting class.
I'd like to see if, you know, people are writing essays about the best show.
Yeah, right? Why don't you write it about the best show?
I tried, but like I said, it proved too difficult. I tried comparing you and Hollywood Handbook, but I just didn't get anywhere with it.
Hollywood? You're comparing me to Hollywood Handbook?
Well, I mean, not... Well, you have, you know, relation to them.
Why don't you compare it against, what's his face there? What's it, Mushmouth. What's his name? Swamp Lake. What is it again? You know. Ode to Swamp Lake. What is the thing?
What is Ode to Sleepy thing? Town?
Pest Town?
No.
Night Vale?
The old Welcome? Man. Night the old Vale. Man.
Oh, Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah. Why don't you compare me to Garrett?
No, I'm not familiar with that show.
Get off my phone.
They may not get it in Canada.
Podcast?
No.
Well, they obviously get that.
Half Hour Power, hi.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the Half Hour Power. You're here with me and AP Mike and Dudio and Pat and Perry Xiao.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim in Mexico. How are you?
To whom am I speaking?
Jim in Mexico.
What part of Mexico are you in?
I'm in the state of Oaxaca. Okay. A place called Puerto Escondido.
Very cool.
What do I owe the pleasure of this call tonight?
Well, I wanted to share a story with you guys regarding the director Yorgos Lanthimos, the guy that directed Dogtooth and The Lobster. I recently watched The Killing of a Sacred Deer, the trailer for that movie, and I wonder if you guys saw that.
I saw Dogtooth. I haven't seen The Lobster yet. I heard it was interesting.
Oh, you should see The Lobster.
Yeah.
He's got a new movie coming out. It's got Colin Farrell in it, and the trailer is super creepy, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of the story that I wanted to share with you guys about Dogtooth. I know you've seen it, Mike, and so if you allow me, I went up to see my sisters in the States, and I got talking about movies with them, and The Lobster came up, and they were really excited about seeing it, and so I told them about the movie Dogtooth that I'd seen, and I didn't remember the movie very well, but I knew that I liked it, mm-hmm. so I was pumping it up for them for a few days, actually, visiting them, and finally got to the point where we watched it. Mm-hmm. So I pumped it all up, and I didn't realize what it was about, and I sat down with my two sisters, and I showed them the movie Dogtooth, which ended up being about, about, like, really weird, twisted little incest thing, and it ended mm-hmm. up being the most awkward moment of my entire life.
Yeah.
Showing my sister and her.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, every other show on HBO is about incest, so it's not like, you know.
It's a sick network.
Not out there.
Yeah.
Sick.
The opening scene is like this, so the guy has his kids in this compound, right?
Yeah.
And the opening scene is, like, the son, so it's the son and the two sisters, mm-hmm. He was having sex in the first scene, and I was super embarrassed, and I didn't remember any of the movie, and it unfolds, and it turns out that, you know, he actually is, you know, sleeping with his sisters in the movie, and here I am sitting there with my two sisters.
Yeah, no, I
remembering this in the moment, and it was the worst thing ever.
What I remember about the movie was that, yeah, it was this sort of, they were keeping the kids in this compound. They wouldn't let them out into the real world. I vaguely remember that incest stuff, but
yeah,
it's not prominent in my mind.
Yeah. I kept getting my sister's fiance sitting there telling me really really good job shooting the movie there, Jim.
Well, you didn't make the movie,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. It's not like you made it. You're like,
but
look at the movie I wrote.
I played it up so much. I'm like, you guys have to see this movie, Dogtooth. It's so good. The Lobster is great, but you got to see this movie, Dogtooth. It's so good.
So you started hyping a thing before you knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, I don't know how I forgot the entire storyline about the guy sleeping with his sisters, man. It was.
I don't know. You lost.
Oh, it was humiliating.
Look, so yeah. Next time you watch something else, you watch Pixels.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
another great Sandler film.
The Sarah McLachlan song that you were playing was cracking me up so hard. I was really into Sarah McLachlan in high school for some reason, and I submitted that song to be like the song that played when we graduated from high school,
mm-hmm.
and everyone ate it up immediately. And
was that the song you graduated to?
That's the song that was played as we were like accepting our high school diplomas. Yeah,
oh, nice.
Thanks to me, because
right
I
on.
Got into Sarah McLachlan in high school for some reason.
What's your dog's name? Again. Look at that! Isn't that dog?
Dogtooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your dog, too.
He named his dog after the movie.
Yeah, you really went way too far before you saw the movie.
I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you're hyping it up to your sisters. You're naming your dog after the movie. And suddenly it's like, wait, what's this movie about?
No.
Yeah, I gotta change my dog's name.
Come here. Yeah, thanks a lot for letting me call you guys up and familiarize myself. So.
All right, you have a great night.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thanks, Mike. Now, Mike,
yeah.
You've always got your ear to the ground for any sort of unique happenings and whatnot out there. Anything on your radar?
I didn't really have anything major this week. I did see a fun fact in the news today that they did a study and they found that most people spend twice as much time on the toilet than they do exercising. That was a British study, that they did. And that was a major revelation, I guess.
You know, I would have, as soon as you said... people spending time. I swear, the first thing I thought, I knew you were going to say on the toilet. I don't know. It just like.
I felt it too.
We've been doing this long enough.
Yeah.
That you just know the you start to see the patterns.
I don't think I've dipped too often into toilet humor, though.
I just knew it was just like a survey. You're just like talking about a study you saw.
It was in the news in the UK. Active UK.com or something.
Where is it?
Yeah,
that diner bathroom wall. What were we gonna do? What were we gonna do with it? Yeah. It was your podcast. You were gonna do a show with just bathroom wall graffiti.
Yeah,
that would be good. Yeah,
and then I suggested that he had to call some of the for a good time call numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'd be great. Or you write on the thing for a good time call. And you give the number for the show out for when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be a cross-country trip.
And then suddenly it's like...
Which bathrooms have you seen the worst graffiti in? I think I have a surprise for people. Department stores.
I was going to say... you know where I was going to say?
Those are dressing rooms.
No.
Of late?
Yeah.
Like a Barnes & Noble reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like people just go in
And they trash them, right?
Yeah, they trash the bathroom. You'd think the bathroom
would be classy, right?
Yeah, you're looking at a bookstore. There was Starbucks attached to it. Mm-hmm. You go and look at these. They have these fancy notebooks and these beautiful, all these things. You go in the bathroom. You think you're at the county fair.
What the world of country?
Yeah, they just pull the toilet paper off the like people are going and pulling, letting it roll.
Yeah,
until it's all on the floor.
You're right about that.
They're just like they trash the bathrooms at Barnes and Noble.
Yeah,
and those changing station, those like koala bear.
Oh yeah,
out.
Those things are just like
and kids go, babies.
Yeah,
yeah. People just going in, like, they're just, like, they're mad at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bookstores used to be such a bathroom that you could rely on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there's a bookstore, that book soup in L.A. God knows how they do it. They have the most luxurious restrooms at that place. I don't know how it hasn't caught up to them at some point. Like, this is on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
Where... you just have to walk in, and you could just, like, make like you're looking at books for a minute, and then, like, they're not scrutinizing anybody going into that. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to ask for a key.
Yeah. Do they have an attendant?
No.
No. No attendant.
If it's locked, it's locked.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, how are you guys getting away with this? But these Barnes & Noble bathrooms, man.
Mm.
There's that... people have talked about that Union Square Barnes & Noble bathroom, the one as like, because it's like for people in that mid, that like kind of like in the teens there.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's a bathroom that's open available to the public.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you go.
And it's like the fifth floor.
Yep.
And it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's like in the public domain.
It's like a bus station. It's like
CBGB?
It's not that bad. You'd think, and that's the other thing, when people are just like,
I'm assuming you never saw the CBGB's bathroom.
I never, ever got to go.
Did you ever see the actual CBGB's bathroom?
Of course. I filmed some guy going in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, going in it? What do you mean by going in it?
I did a documentary on CBGB's.
So you filmed somebody using the bathroom.
He was at the top of the stairs. He was from England.
Okay.
And I said, excuse me, are you about to go use the bathroom at CBGB's for the first time? And he was like, yeah, do you want to film my reaction? Like, that was his immediate response. And I said, yes. Yeah. So we started at the top, and we walked down, and he went in, and it was just like, he was, you know, staring at the graffiti. He was just like, so is this going back years? And I'm like, yeah, this is going back.
Yeah.
It was so next level disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doors.
Well, it was the non-privacy,
that's the worst.
That takes it to the next level.
It literally was just a toilet in a doorway. Mm-hmm. Imagine a doorless doorway.
Yeah.
With a toilet.
Right.
Just sitting there, and it's just like...
The men's room.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. the men's room.
The women's room had stalls with doors.
But the men's room was just a toilet.
And then in the open, yeah.
Is it in the Rock Hall now, or is it part of John Varvatos?
It's probably part of John Varvatos, yeah. But they don't let. I don't think they let people go down there.
Can I just say that I used? I'm going to let this out on the best show.
Okay.
Number two at the CBGB's bathroom. You did. Had a friend watch the stairs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Wow,
but also it's like
courageous. Had no
choice.
Yeah,
mark that off my list of not something things I never wanted to do.
Bucket list.
Yeah,
the reverse
part of you thinking
list.
Like I should just do this once in a lifetime thing, or was it like?
Yeah, I mean, I had to, and I was there, and it was like before doors. My friend said he was going to watch the steps. Somebody did still come down. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. I forget what happened, but...
I mean, this is long before the gender-neutral normatives, but, like, it was kind of informal that, like, I saw it, when people and guys had to go, I would see them go in and out of the women's room, and it was just like, that's fine. Like, you're just...
Yeah. All right, I'm going to end the show.
Yeah, we don't...
This is
awesome.
Sorry.
Wait. Oh, no.
No, it's time to end it. We're so far.
Well, we find out that... Perry went number two at CBGB's. We need to shut down.
Every time I tell the story.
Could I say one last thing, though?
Of course.
The I don't know if it was the Metropolitan Museum of Art, I think. You must remember this. Like,
did Perry go to there, too?
Three or four years ago, recreated the CBGB bathroom as part of their punk exhibit. Do you remember that?
No. Yeah.
It was a thing. Yeah. You can see photos. You can see photos. I go to the exhibit, you're just on the back toilet.
Now, Mike, anything you want to tell? Do you have, of course, people can find out where you are at AP Mike.
I had a friend of Tom visit me at H&H's the other day.
Which is where you've been tending bar.
Yeah, very nice young guy.
So people can find out when you're around in Bayonne and come and say hi?
Yeah, I'm usually there about 4 days a week. Unfortunately, the days change, so check with me.
This is what I'm going to say. You go in, you actually order a drink. You go in, hey, it's Mike. What's up, Mike? How you doing, Mike?
Well, thank you.
Order a drink.
Drink or two.
Down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or two. Yeah. Of course, at least.
Yeah.
And actually be a don't just go in and say, it's not the zoo. You're looking at Mike like he's behind the bar like he's... And also, apmike.bandcamp.com. Everybody loves it, and... Very exciting, limited edition, $20 AP Mike headshots, Hall of Fame, signed with a
gold
pen,
Sharpie.
Gold Sharpie, and says 2017 Hall of Fame, podcast Hall of Fame underneath his name. So, limited edition. Jason.
You made it.
What's going on with you? Anything?
Yeah, just shows. You can find out my shows at jason-gore.com. You can follow me on Twitter at SonicDork at any time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Pat, what's going on?
Very
what events are...
Very exciting. I have two things. One is the Prove It All Night show will be returning to live show format on October 20th, the day before the Rock Rotten Rule show in Brooklyn.
Yes.
So if for any FOTs that are coming to New York as a pilgrimage to see that show, if you're in town the night before, we'll be not at Monty Hall. We'll be in New York City at the People's Improv Theater for NYC Sketch Fest. That's 9 p.m.
And they can find out about that at Prove It All Show. What is it?
Where? If you look up NYC Sketch Fest, we'll be on that info as well as the pit-nyc.com.
Okay.
We'll post it on the Best Show Twitter as well.
Yeah, sure. So.
And Perry shall, of course, the new Hound album, Born Under 76, out in October. The pre-order is active now, though. People can go to the website and pre-order the vinyl and the cassette at
letspretendrecords.com.
And the tour starts in early October, and the dates are available up at...
You can go to the Hound Instagram, Hound_Philadelphia.
Okay. And check it out, and you can go see Hound live, and they will be playing in your neck of the woods at some point or another. And for me, I don't know. What do I got to say? I think there's like literally 10 tickets left to that late show for the Sharpling and Worcester Murmur thing. I'm not going to plug it anymore. It's literally, I think 10 tickets are left. That's
it'll probably be sold out by the time this goes up.
Yeah. It's a thank you. Yeah. So,
you know, and the late show is really where it's at too.
Either show. I mean,
that's where
great,
people
Mike.
Are
Mike,
cut,
either show.
Cutting loose.
They've, I got the they've, first Mike, one.
No they've had more time to pre-game.
Mike. That is true. Pre-gaming.
Mike, nobody's, there are no shows better than the other show. They're both going to be
I'm kidding, Tom.
Lower your expectations for both. So, everybody, thanks for listening to the Half Hour Power. We will be back in a couple of weeks, and have a great night, and bye.
Bye.